Welcome to Doers of the Word with David Middleton, pastor of Jesus' Lord Outreach Center in Phoenix, Arizona. This radio program will teach you the practical knowledge of the Word of God and give answers to your questions about the problems in your life so that you can live in victory. Open your heart and mind as Pastor Middleton shares the uncompromised Word with you today.
Praise the Lord. Glad to be with you. This is David Middleton welcoming you to the Doers of the Word radio program, where we're teaching you the uncompromised Word of God. We've been sharing with you regarding the truth about understanding the blood of Jesus. We've talked about the blood of Jesus from the Old Testament. We've talked about the blood of Jesus from the New Testament. And we're talking about unscriptural traditions about the blood. Thus far, we've seen that the blood of Jesus is not an offensive or defensive weapon used against the devil. We do not remind Satan about the blood, bind Satan with the blood, cast out demons with the blood, hold the blood against Satan. We also don't plead the blood, sprinkle ourselves with the blood, or cover ourselves, our loved ones, or our possessions with the blood. We also saw that we do not ask God to apply the blood to us. Instead, the blood is applied by Jesus when we confess our sins and or walk in the light of the Word of God. We're going to continue on today addressing more statements by ministers. Here's another statement. People say that we plead the blood by sprinkling the blood ourselves with our faith. No, they say it's our responsibility to sprinkle the blood. Is it true? There's no place in the scripture on that one. If this is something that's a major important thing, give me chapter and verse. It's not there. You know, in the statement, it's understood that the person believes that pleading the blood means to apply the blood to ourselves. No, remember, Jesus is the one who does that. Here's another statement. In casting out demons or resisting the devil, some say you're declare that the blood of Jesus is against you, and you flee, and I resist you in the blood of Jesus. There's no scripture on that whatsoever. Instead, we speak the word of God. Here's another statement, saying that any stronghold of Satan can be destroyed by holding the blood of Jesus upon it. Is that true? No, it's false. Where does the Bible say anything about that? It doesn't say anything about that whatsoever. It never speaks about, quote, holding the blood of Jesus on anything. You don't hold the blood of Jesus on anything. That is false teaching. Some try to use the blood of Jesus like the name of Jesus, like a weapon. But again, you can't bring that over into that. The blood has to deal with our relationship with God. The name of Jesus is what we use to take authority over the enemy that releases our authority as we do the works of God, cast out the demons, and overcome the enemy. Here's another statement. When we plead the blood, it pleads for us, crying mercy from the mercy seat. That is implying that we need to plead the blood in order for the blood to cry mercy for us. Is that true? No. The blood cries mercy regardless of what we do. It already cries mercy. And when we do whatever's necessary to appropriate the mercy, which is to act on the word, pray the prayer of faith, take hold of the promise of God to see it come to pass. We're never told to plead the blood in order for it to plead for us, crying mercy from the mercy seat. There's no scripture about it whatsoever. These are all false teachings. People teach about applying the blood in faith. Plead the blood, valid scriptural expression of our faith. Anything on that one? No, it's false again. Jesus applies the blood. How do we show faith in the blood? We show faith in the blood when we act on the Word of God and believe what the Word says that the blood will do, which is to cleanse us from all our sins when we confess them, and to be applied continually cleansing us when we walk in the light as He is in the light. So our acting upon the Word tells me that I know that the blood of Jesus is being applied to keep me in right fellowship with the Lord. Another minister states that one way people receive the Holy Spirit is by pleading the blood. That's actually out of someone's book. Is that true? Absolutely not. How do we receive the Holy Spirit? The Bible says in Luke 11:13, they asked the Father to give them the Holy Spirit. And in Acts 8 and Acts 19, they prayed and laid hands upon them. Anybody receive the Holy Spirit in the Bible by pleading the blood? I mean, it sounds ridiculous, but this is the kind of statements that people are making, and they need to be addressed so you don't fall for any of these lies out there. Another minister states that we're to apply the blood of Jesus by our faith against the enemy. We've already talked about that. It's never done. It's false. Here's another statement. I bring to bear the power of the blood of Jesus to bind you. Do we do that? No. We bind the demons with our mouth, just speaking words saying, I bind you in the name of Jesus. And you bind the strong man in the name of Jesus. You do everything in the name of Jesus. As it says in Colossians 3:17, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus. Here's another statement. A minister states that believers are to say, I'm redeemed by the blood, to plead the blood. Is that one true? No. We've already seen pleading the blood's false. And what are we saying when we're redeemed by the blood? We're declaring the fact that we're purchased by the blood of Jesus. We belong to Him. And that's great. That's declaring who you are in Christ. That has nothing to do with pleading the blood. The application of the blood, washing away our sins, occurs for us as a Christian when we confess our sins and or walk in the light of the Word of God. So declaring I'm redeemed, that does not plead the blood. And of course, that's something that we do not do whatsoever. Here's another minister saying it's our responsibility to sprinkle the blood. And he says we should practice the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus anywhere there's evidence of pressure, tension, or any kind of satanic workings. These are national ministers' statements, and you'd know them all if I quote. I'm talking about a whole bunch of them. I take it right out of their books and right out of their publications. It's totally false. It's not in the Word of God whatsoever. You don't do anything with the blood of Jesus. Jesus is the one who applies the blood. We overcome the devil through the application of that blood through Jesus because of the Word of God, of our testimony, and the fact that we're walking in line with His ways. Now here's one in another book. And this minister admits that pleading the blood is not in the Bible. And then he says the phrase Sunday school is not in the Bible either. And it implies that the concept of having Sunday schools in the Bible, as well as reasoning that the concept of pleading the blood's in the Bible too. That was his conclusion. Otherwise, this is something we should be doing. And he goes on and says, to support this conclusion, he quotes a scripture in Colossians 1:10, says we're increasing in the knowledge of God. In other words, what he's saying is that increasing in the knowledge of God means we get more knowledge beyond what's written in the Bible. What about that? Boy, that's really off, isn't it? The knowledge of God is written in the Word of God. People that have this extra-biblical knowledge or extra-biblical revelation always leads to error. At least he said one thing that was right, that it's not in the Bible, and that's right. There's no place where it's in the Bible, and we're not to have anything to do with it. Here's another statement. When 1 Peter 1:24 says, by His stripes we're healed, and implies that Jesus' blood was shed for our healing. What about that one? That one's false. His stripes were the means whereby all sickness and disease was laid upon His body. His blood was shed for what? For our sins. The application of blood brings relationship and fellowship with God. Healing is received from the Lord through what? Through the Word of God, through the laying on of hands, anointing with oil, the prayer of faith, casting out demons, gifts of healings by the Holy Spirit. Any place where it was done by the blood? No. Again, another false tradition. And this is almost all the national ministers and most of the ministries out there and most all these denominations or non-denominational groups believe in all this stuff about the blood when it's totally false. It shows you there's much error out there in the body of Christ. Here's another one that says, draw a bloodline around your property by the blood of Jesus to protect you. Any scripture on that one? Nope. How are we protected in the earth? By the angels of God. The angels of God have charge over you to keep you in all your ways. How are they put in operation? Through confession of the Word. Psalms 103, verse 20. They hearken to the voice of the Word. And or by prayer. Remember Matthew 26:53? Jesus said that He could pray to His Father, and He'd give Him presently the 12 legions of angels to deal with the situation. Why then is using the blood apparently work to protect people when they've given testimony to pleading the blood for protection? Now, that's a question we need to answer. The answer is they must have done something scriptural to release God's protection. More than likely, they spoke in the name of Jesus, they confessed the Word of God, they prayed in line with the Word for the Father to send His angels. They did something scriptural to activate the angels of God or the power of God in the situation. Then, of course, God will perform His Word in their life. So it's important that we understand that all of this is false. Now, in conclusion of what we've talked about, let's summarize these things. We've talked about the blood through the Old Testament. We've seen the fact that it is a living substance, it has a voice, it carries life. The shedding of blood was where one entered into the blood covenant. We saw the fact that it also revealed a judgment. We also saw the fact that it was what protected them from God's judgment in Exodus chapter 12. And we saw in Exodus chapter 24 it was sprinkled upon the people by Moses when they committed to hear and to do and to obey the word of God of the old covenant. And so the blood of Jesus sprinkled on the believers in the Christ Jesus when they hear, do, and obey the word of the covenant is right in line with 1 John 1:7, that if we walk in the light as He is in the light, then the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin that's been applied. We also saw in the Old Testament about the blood sacrifices, how they were offered up continually by the priests, once a year by the high priest, so that there would be no judgment. And of course, Jesus was offered up once and for all to accomplish eternal redemption for us. We also saw to be a priest in the Old Testament, that the blood was applied by Moses to the tip of the right ear, the thumb of the right hand, the great toe of the right foot. And Jesus had this same thing occur when he was going to the cross with the crown of thorns put upon his head and the nails in his hands and his feet in fulfilling the Old Covenant requirements to be a priest, that is. In Leviticus 14, we talked about the two birds alive and clean, revealing Jesus, the slain bird, shedding his blood, and then the other bird that was flying away, and this was Jesus sprinkling his blood upon the heavenly things as he went up to heaven. That was the resurrected bird who goes up to heaven in the true tabernacle to put his blood there, and he ratified the new covenant. We also saw the fact that the blood was applied, the people's members were cleansed in the trespass offering. And of course, that's all pointing towards the fact that when you and I confess our sins, which are trespasses, then God forgives us and cleanses from all unrighteousness. We also saw the fact that the blood of Jesus spoke of the two goats in Leviticus 16. One goat, the goat was killed, the blood was sprinkled on the mercy seat. That was Jesus' physical death. And the other goat, remember, the hands were laid upon it, and he was sent out into an uninhabited place, which speaks of Jesus going to hell for 3 days and three nights to bear away the sins and the iniquities of mankind. In Numbers 19, we saw the red heifer slain outside the camp in the purification for sins, signifying Jesus slain on the cross outside the city walls of Jerusalem. And he accomplished the complete purification from sin, exactly what he did. We saw in Joshua about the scarlet thread in the window protecting Rahab and her house from death when God's judgment came upon them. Again, that shows the blood of Jesus protects believers from God's judgment upon his enemies. We also saw in the New Testament, in Matthew 26, how Jesus taught his blood would be shed for the remission of sins, and it would bring forth a new covenant. And we saw throughout the New Testament that his blood, the precious blood, was the ransom price paid to accomplish eternal redemption. Through the blood, we have relationship in the new covenant with him. We see that we've been a purchased possession. Now we're not our own. We're bought with a ransom price of the blood of Jesus. And we saw all the things that we have through what Jesus accomplished for us. Reconciliation, brought into right relationship with him, sanctification in spirit, peace, and eternal life with God. It's also the means whereby we can dwell in God, have boldness to enter into the presence of God because of the blood applied by him, to serve him because of the purging of our conscience, and to have continual fellowship with the Lord. In fact, the blood of the new covenant makes us perfect through his word to do his will, as long as we are, of course, walking in line with it. We have faith in the blood when we believe and know what he's done for us. We have faith in his blood when he continually does for us daily as we walk with God in the light of the word of God. Very important. It's applied in our life, remember, two ways. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Jesus applies it that way. The other way is when we walk in the light. As we walk in the light as he is in the light, then the blood of Jesus Christ continually cleanses us from all sin. And also we talked about Revelation chapter 12, verse 10 and 11, where it speaks of overcoming by the blood of the Lamb. And what's it talking about? Verse 10 is talking about the accusation of sin by Satan. Remember, Jesus, our heavenly attorney, defends us, pleads our case before the Father, the heavenly judge, and we overcome Satan's accusation because of the blood that's been applied to us when we did one of two things, either confessed our sins and or walked in the light of the Word of God. And we overcome these accusations because of the word of our testimony that shows that we have confessed our sins and that we do walk continually in the Word of God. And so because of that, that's the way the blood is applied. And remember, all these traditions about the blood of Jesus, they are all false. As I close the program today, I want to make available the book that I have on this subject entitled Understanding the Blood of Jesus. It's available for $6, postage paid. If you would like to get it, please call me at 602-279-5212. Again, my book called Understanding the Blood of Jesus, available for $6, postage paid. If you'd like to get it, please call 602-279-5212.
We trust you've enjoyed the broadcast today. To purchase books, audios, or videos, please call 1-877-77-DOERS. That's 1-877-773-6377. You can visit our website at www.doersoftheword.org. If this broadcast blesses you, we invite you to become a financial partner so we can take this ministry across the nation. Until we greet you on the next broadcast, may God bless you as you are a consistent doer of the Word of God.